Now I'd like to read in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews on chapter 1. At verse number 1, Hebrews 1 verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners or in many parts and many ways has spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, and verse number 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2, please. Therefore, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, move on over, please, to chapter 3, and verse number 12. Take heed, verse 12 of chapter 3, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Chapter 4, please. Verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now move on over, please, for a few verses, and we're going to move into chapter 10. And verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe, to the saving of the soul. Chapter 12, please, for a final reference. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That's all we'll read, and I trust, with the help of God, to preach the gospel from what we have read together, very simply, that the book of the Hebrews that we've read from is really, basically and simply, the revelation to us of the Son of God. God is coming out in very clear terms in the Word of God from Hebrews, and the writer to the Hebrews, under divine inspiration, is giving us a real clear picture of the heart of God seen in the person of the Lord Jesus, that the one who was here on earth, God's Son, was fully declaring to our world that God had come among men and that God, coming among men, had given himself a sacrifice upon the cross. That's why one of the themes in the book of Hebrews is the sacrifice of Christ, referred to in chapter 9 and chapter 10 in particular. Once in the end of the age, have Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And this man, chapter 10, 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down at the right hand of God. So we're going to look at a very simple, basic truth that's found in Hebrews, with the solemn, solemn reality of the dangers of listening to the gospel and failing to embrace the message. That's really what is on my mind tonight at the beginning of the meeting, that the beams of God's love and the beams of God's grace and the offer of God's mercy and the Son of God presented as the only Savior, God coming down and dying upon a cross of shame. My friend, do you hear that? Do you hear that message? The danger of missing out in salvation. Now I want to look very simply, I'm not going to go into detail, very briefly and very simply look at this. Maybe something will strike home to someone in the meeting. And if you haven't had fear in your soul before about this matter of salvation, would it please God to inject into your soul that dreadful fear of missing Christ? Nothing worse to live in life, to come on the stage of time, and to move through this world, and to come to the article of death, and to make the exit into eternity, and no Savior, no Christ, no hope. That's tragedy in all its enormity. First of all, we want to notice that the writer says concerning this salvation, he calls it so great salvation. Just as we have in the text here, God so loved the world, we have the mention here in chapter 2, so great salvation. What he's saying is, there's nothing you can compare with it. It stands in all its uniqueness. God's so great salvation that is offered. It's offered in the person of Christ. He died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. He paid the price of sin. He opened up the floodgates of God's love and mercy toward fallen humankind and all their sin. Now, says the writer, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The danger of neglecting. See, friend, that's probably why most people come to meetings and the bulk that attend, some get saved. But the bulk seemingly remain unmoved, unsaved, and probably put down to a simple basic truth. They've neglected it. And that word neglect just simply means like almost sand running through your fingers. You can't hold it. They escape. It's just, my friend, the same word that is used of those in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, concerning the king's supper, or the king's banquet, or the king's marriage. We find there that they made light of it. In other words, he said, not just now. We intend, and I don't think there's anyone comes to meetings, and this is to the Gospel, somehow or other, lurking in the back of their mind, they have the idea, I am going to get saved someday. I will get this matter settled. It does seem serious, and it is needful, and somehow it would do us good, but we're not just going to do it now. That's the danger here of neglecting. Letting it slip past, letting it go by, the opportunity within your grasp, and saying, just not now, some other time. Now, the Sunday night meeting's smaller. We realize it doesn't bother me, because you're sitting here not saved. And the danger tonight, this Sunday night, I hope it's not marked down in heaven. I hope it's not. I hope it's not. But God's saying, that young man or that young woman that's attending the meeting there this Sunday night, they're neglecting the salvation. You know something? If I could take the lid of hell, count it. Try to draw back the curtains and look, you look into eternity. There are men in the sea of God's eternal judgment,
Now, you know why they're there?
That's why we sing the solemn words. My father always gave them out in meetings. And I didn't hear my father preach much, but he always gave out that hymn. Many were once as near heaven as now. They lingered, they lost their day, their weeping, their wailing, their wandering now on the coast of the castaway, far from the kingdom, far from the crowd, from Christ and his ransoming cross. O infinite sadness, no tears but thine own can weep such a fathomless loss. And there's many a young man, yes, brought up in a Christian home, yes, privileged with the beams of the gospel, yes, my friend, prayed for, wept for, cared for. You know what happened? They heard it. They listened to it. They let it slip from them. They neglected it. And I wonder when these meetings were over in Victoria's life, and the books are all of the records of all that took place in the meetings, from what the preacher spoke on, and the preacher spoke on, and the hymns that we sang, and the words that were uttered, and how you listened, and what you thought. I wonder in the records in heaven, when it's all over and finalized, will it be written down Sunday night, when two men preached the gospel of Victoria Drive, we miss salvation just because of it. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Look at that. Get in on the offer, friend. Get in on the greatness of this salvation. It's offered, extended, it's simple, it's profound, and yet it's within the lap of a boy of 9 or 10 or even less. God so loved, God gave, God punished his son on account of man's sin, and the offer tonight is so clear, so simple, so plain. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet, friend, are you going to let through neglect? Time is against you, friend. Don't think it's for you. It's against you. The sand glass is running down fast. The day of mercy is coming to a close. The Lord is about to step into the air. The day of grace will soon end. The curtains will soon close. Eternity will soon open. A friend, how solemn to think that I could be lost eternally in my sins just because of neglect. Secondly, there's another danger in this book. The danger of coming short of salvation. That's chapter 4 we read. The danger of coming short. The one before that I had was the danger of departing from the living God. The danger of departing from the living God. Now I want to be very solemn tonight. And I want to be very clear. I don't have to shout. But I want everyone to get this. There are people that attended gospel halls and evangelistic meetings and other places where evangelists preach the gospel. Just as clear as what we're trying to preach. Once set under the beams of the gospel, you know what they did? They accepted the decision and they departed from God. I say that with fear and trembling. And you know something? They're just like that there. You couldn't reach them, you couldn't touch them, and they don't even want to hear the word of God. I said, the writer here, there is a danger of departing from the living God. Having heard this message and this wonderful offer and this Son of God who gave himself a mighty sacrifice on the cross, who has opened heaven's door for the whosoever, the danger not only of neglecting, but the danger of departing from the living God. The word depart here is a permanent character of the word. It's a permanent characteristic. Depart, depart, no coming back. That's what it means. There are people tonight in hell. There's a time in their life, in their life's history, when they counted the cost and said, we desire not the knowledge of God. And they turned from the living God. That's the truth.
You know, in Victoria Drive, I don't know the background and history of Vancouver, but you know what I'm speaking of. There are people that won't sit here and in the other hall. Listen, friend, you couldn't lose your life. Sodom. There's another danger here, and I want to get it, the danger of coming short of Christ. That's chapter 4. A danger, it says here, of left us of entering into his rest, that anyone should seem to come short of it. Come short of it. You know what this reminds me of? A person almost could I look at the chart a minute, which I don't often do? They're just at the door. But they didn't go through the door. They were almost persuaded, but they didn't enter. And there are people that have attended our meetings. Our brother has been preaching here, my brother here has been preaching longer than I have. And he could attest more with other preachers of people who they thought almost were the kingdom. But they have shown Christ. See, the acid test is Christ. What think you of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right on the rest unless you think rightly of him. And so the danger of neglect, the danger, my friend, of departing, I hope it never. The danger of coming short. There are people, and I sat with them, and I thought, sure, they'd get saved. In fact, some of us know an experience. I remember reading the window of my bedroom open on a warm night of a young man that sat in a car for many, many hours wanting to be saved. And I thought for sure he'd get saved that night. And I actually didn't even put on my pajamas. It was 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. I was looking outside, thinking he caught this guy and tell us he could save. Never happened. Never happened. He was near the kingdom to become short. And there are people that attend our meetings, oh, the solemnity of it, oh, the sadness of it. No wonder Christ wept over a city that he would have blessed and would have saved. He said, how often would I have gathered thee together? You were near to me. You touched me. You saw me. You listened to me. I begged you to come. I appealed to you. You never came to me. You come short. Oh, Christ. My friend, I hope that that will not be true of you. I fear for this. This is on my heart tonight. I fear that some of our readings may just be under one of these categories. Neglecting, let it slip through your fingers. Others did it, you let it slip out. Departing, you're going to say, I'm going to take my own course now. When these meetings are over, I'm going to close the door. I've seen that happen. Close the door. I'm going in for what I want. Some, my friends, coming short, almost to the door, we almost thought that we could end. I never made it. You know, friend, not only have we that, but with those in danger of falling away. I don't want to dwell on this, let me say this. You know, you fall away from Christ. You fall away from Christ. I'm speaking solemnly now. I'm not talking about just light profession. I'm talking about falling away from Christ. You know it to be the right way. You know it's the only salvation. You've heard it. You know it. It's in the Bible. You've read it. You've sang about it. But friend, what has happened? You've thrown the whole thing up. I've heard men say to me, and I've looked them straight in the face, say, look, I wouldn't know that. I used to think about it. There's a danger of falling away. And falling away here means a permanent thing. That's Sodom. I don't want to dwell in that too long. What I want to get is the one in chapter 10, drawing back. The danger of drawing back. It's almost the same as falling short. Different words. Possibly a little different imagery in the word. But the thought is drawing back, drawing back, drawing back.
Yes, I should, but what's the cost? Yes, I should, but could I face my friends? Yes, I should, but I wonder could I live up to it? And there's a thousand things in the state of mind, and people, listen, friend, don't be a fool. Don't draw back from reality. I think, as Brother Robert referred to, but I repeat, of that young man, he became a preacher of the gospel. He was brought up in a Christian home, nurtured in the fear and admonition of God, a praying mother, all the rest of it. But anyway, he went out into the world and drifted away from God and Christ and everything. And he did cars there and all that type of thing. And so his wife. And the mother got so burdened and so deeply oppressed about her son that night, she went out searching for him. And she went here and there trying to look at her son. And finally she did. She come across a little room. Don't know whether it was a straight old thing or whether it was a house, but she come across this room and she went in. And there sitting at a table with cards with her son. With a number of hard-looking young men who were callous with sin. And as the mother only could do, she stood at the door and she looked at her and she said, George, please come with me. She wanted to take him to a gospel meal. And George looked at the boys and he looked at the cards. And he stood up. And he walked toward his mother. And as he's walking, the boys with a sneer in their face. And a kind of sarcasm on their countenance. Yeah. And they kind of almost like voice together, "There goes George, hanging on!" to his mother Gibson's face. George turned up. He said, "What do you boys will go to hell for George Fraser?" Went to his mother, heard the gospel that night. God came in a mighty, marvelous grace. He didn't draw back. Press in. Oh, my friends, I don't draw back.
For companions, for sin, for pleasure, for anything, my friend, that would hinder you. Better to, my friend, throw it off. Better to say no. Better to say yes, Christ, for me. My old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. My friend, the danger of drawing back. There was another danger.
Sinning willfully.
That is, my friend, hearing the truth presented with it, set before you clearly, and after the meeting if someone said, "What did you hear?" Basically, what were they trying to tell you? You would probably come out with as clear language as what we were speaking, saying, "Yeah, they spoke that Christ died on the cross. He died for sinners. The sacrifice was offered. God accepted that sacrifice. There on the cross 2,000 years the Lord Jesus suffered for sins. You probably could say it all. Clearly.
Then you're in the road to hell. There is a danger.
Oh yes, God may give you other opportunities. I'm not saying that. God may give you other opportunities. God may have patience and long suffering a little longer with you.
But friend, the danger is this. Beware lest he take thee away with a stroke, and a great ransom cannot.
Again, the Word of God says very, 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 very clearly, "He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed." And that was their remedy. God's rule, God's gracious, God is lawful, remember. Don't sin willfully. Determinate in your mind, steeled against God and saying, "No, it's not for me. I don't want it now. I want my friends. I want this. I want that." And the whole list of you put them down, friend, on one side, and the other list is a big negative no to God, no to Christ. I tremble tonight because 41 years ago I come to that decision. I heard the whispers are almost like thunder in my ears. How are you going to meet your boys and your girlfriends? And how are you going to deal with Magnus and deal with God's bad friend and compiling him like a mighty torrent? And I had a choice to make, a deliberate choice. And I remember saying, walking up that road, oh God, I don't care what it costs. I don't want my soul to be in hell forever, and I don't want to be shut out of heaven now. My friend, I made a deliberate choice, even though I was ashamed that moment. I made this choice before highest heaven. Oh God, I want salvation at any cost.
What about you tonight?
You think I'm thrilled that I got saved?
Yeah, totally thrilled.
Think I made a wrong choice?
Absolutely not.
There's only about 1 hour after I said that on the roadside with tears streaming down my face, trembling in my sins. Just about 1 hour after it, between two pillars, leading to an old schoolhouse, still standing there. Still go up to it. I used to tell them when I was home to Ireland, there's one place I go first when I'm out in Ireland. Next to saying hi to the folks and giving them a hug and a kiss. And the next place I go is up the road, and I stop there. I remember one of the last times I was over, my one of the girls, she was small, I think it was little Mary actually, the last one, she was only about 4 year old. And she reminds me, you know, she listens to everything. And of course when I got on to the tarmac and then picked up and taken home, she says, Dad, why are you going up the road to where you got to? She said, I said, well, dear, I'm going very soon. She said, can I go with you? I said, you can. I remember when she had a wee doll in her hands, you know, and she was walking up the road. It was a mile and a half. And I thought the wee thing would be tired. I was walking up pretty slowly, but she was getting further behind and further behind. And I said, come on, Mary, come on. She said, Dad, you can. I said, well, soon be there.
Well, I like this. This is the classic of it. Soon as I stood there, she said, Daddy, how did God save you? Ah, that's nice. Ah, friend, that's nice.
I told the wee girl, she's only four. I told her there, when the busy car's been up and down, I told her, that's when your dad understood
he was going to hell, Mary, and that Christ died in his place to do the same.
Yeah. Oh, it's a thrill when she told me that she could save. Tell you. That's the greatest thrill. I bet we don't deserve it. Listen, we don't deserve it. I don't deserve salvation. Neither do any of my family deserve it. It's all of mighty, marvelous, wondrous, sovereign grace.
You got saved tonight? You just say grace. Grace alone is the saved sinner's plea. Not of works, the scripture says. Salvation is free. My friend, don't sin willfully. Could I say this in closing in 2 minutes?
Don't. The danger of doing that. The danger of selling.
You know, if I could take the crust of your heart, and I could see it. I know the heart's sinful, but if I could just pick out the one predominant thing in your soul tonight that hinders you from Christ, you need to write over that one thing. I don't care what it is. You can write over. You are selling your soul tonight. It is keeping you from Christ. You hear me, brother? One, we love you.
Don't sell for anything your soul. I don't care what it is out there. I don't care whether it's a friend or a foe. I don't care what sin it is, friend. Whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever else, my friend. Don't sell your soul. Whether just it's some legitimate thing that you think you need, friend. If it hinders you from Christ, bury it.
May God give you grace to dig in the truth. God loves me. Christ died for me. And thank God, I'm sure of heaven. God bless us.